You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
The second scripture reading for the day is the story of Pentecost, found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Listen for the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show them portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the story of Pentecost for the people of Pentecost. Thanks be to God. So the two scripture readings for today are the kind of large-scale spectacles that stand out even amidst all the other spectacles that we find in the Bible. The story we just heard, that of Pentecost, is a foundational story in our church, known as the birthday of our church. The tongues of fire, the speaking in tongues, the reaction of the crowd, these are all the sorts of things that grab our attention when we read them. The first story that we heard, the Tower of Babel, is similarly a spectacular story, although on an even grander scale than what happened in Jerusalem. The Tower of Babel comes between Noah and the flood and the story of Abraham. It acts as a sort of buffer between the giant stories of humanity and those smaller stories of God's people. The Tower of Babel certainly serves as an excellent capper to that first section of Genesis. It's this widescreen, panoramic, dizzying story about a tower that finds its tops in the heavens. So one thing that you may not know about me is that I have long in my life been an avid comic book reader. For as long as I've been alive, I think I was born with a copy of Avengers in my hand. Especially in high school and college, but it has persisted into my adulthood. And one thing that I've enjoyed doing over the past few years is collecting comic book adaptations of the Bible. So usually these comics focus on the Old Testament. I think there's probably something more exciting about the stories of the Old Testament than just telling stories of Jesus talking. There's a lot going on in the Old Testament, and so a lot of them adapt those stories. And the Tower of Babel in particular has received some pretty spectacular treatment from some legendary comic artists. The first one is by a man named Basil Wolverton. Basil Wolverton was an illustrator for Mad Magazine, described by the New York Times as the Michelangelo of Mad Magazine. As you can clearly see. Known for his ability to really depict the grotesque. If you see some of his other art, it's really disgusting stuff. He converted to Christianity and later in life illustrated the Old Testament. Joe Kubert is a legend in the comics field. He is an illustrator for some of DC Comics' early issues of Hawkman. He illustrated Sergeant Rock, if any of you are big Sergeant Rock fans, and had a really long stint on Tarzan. DC Comics tapped him to provide illustrations for their adaptation of the Bible, and the book itself is about this big. It's a huge book, so seeing this spread is very impressive. The next one is more recent. It's by a man named Vincent Locke, and he provided the story of the Tower of Babel in an anthology book called Testament. Now, Vince Locke is known primarily for drawing zombies. I think his book was called Dead World. It was very popular. But he lent his paintbrush to provide a really beautiful painting of the Tower of Babel. And then finally, an artist named Brendan Powell Smith, a visionary and ambitious man, chose to illustrate the entire Bible using Legos. And his book is called The Brick Bible. And so here's his vision of what the Tower of Babel looked like in the Brick Bible. So these artists have tried to capture the sense of grandeur that's in the tower that has its tops in the heavens. And the illustrations and interpretations are fairly straightforward. The classic interpretation of the story goes something like this. Humanity's all in one place. Humanity wants to make a monument to its greatness. God doesn't like the competition, so God punishes them by making them all speak in different languages. So this interpretation has been the historical interpretation of the story. And this idea of language as punishment has been evident in all the pages that I displayed too. Look at the anger and anguish in the faces of Basil Wolverton's characters. You can see this man is just beside himself and they're starting to yell at each other. Joe Kubert has the people saying, "I won't work with idiots, let's get away from here." Vince Locke has an actual fist fight breaking out. And this is my favorite, this guy's face. Just the panic in his face because everybody's all of a sudden speaking different languages. So that's one interpretation of the story. The panic, the punishment, the disarray, the confusion. But recently there's been a newer interpretation of the story of the Tower of Babel that's found favor in scholarly circles. And Old Testament scholar Theodore Hebert, Ted Hebert, teamed up with the Christian educator extraordinaire Lib Caldwell and illustrator Katie Yamasaki to bring a new interpretation of Babel to life in this beautiful children's book called God's Big Plan. And if you're interested in checking out this book, you can find it in the church's library. Now, I'd like to read this to you. And as we're reading a children's book, I think it's only fair that I sit down. If there's anybody who wants to come up and look at the... I see. No, that's all right. We'll just do it here. Come on. There we go. God's Big Plan. Missed the first page. No. How did we get to be so different? Why do people speak so many different languages? Wouldn't it be easier if we were all alike? This is the story of the people of God, found in the book of Genesis. People who are all alike and liked it that way. Then God surprised them. There we go. The clicker's working now. When the world started again after the flood, the children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren of Noah and Nama and all their descendants moved to a place called Shinar. Everyone in this very large family spoke the same language and lived together in the same place. Because they wanted this to be their home for a very long time, they began to build a city. They made bricks out of mud and straw and baked them in furnaces until they were hard. They used hot tar for cement to hold the bricks together. They said to each other, "Let's build a very big city with very tall buildings. Shinar will be home for us." If we build a big city with very tall buildings, then we can stay together. This building will be so tall that its top will be in the clouds. It will scrape the sky. Our city and our skyscraper will keep us together forever. They liked living together in a city where everyone knew one another. They liked speaking the same language. They liked being all the same. God saw them building their city so that they could all stay in one place. God listened to them all talking in the same language. And God said, "If I don't do something, everyone will be just like everyone else forever." God had a different idea, a plan for the world to be full of many kinds of people. First, God gave them different languages to speak. Then God sent them to live throughout the whole earth. Because God gave them different languages to speak and different places to live, they didn't finish building their city. If they had, they could have called it Manytown, because that is where the many languages of the world began. Instead, they called the city Babel, because that was their word for dividing one language into many. Just as God created the earth with many different fish, birds, and animals, and just as God created the many different things that grow and live on the earth, so God created people. We speak many different languages. We move about in many different ways. We eat different kinds of bread. We eat in many different ways. We live nearly everywhere on earth. We come to worship in many different places. The people who were building Babel had a little plan to stay together, but God had a bigger plan. God wanted to fill the world with different languages, different people, and different ways of living. And that is what God did. The end. So this book looks at the Tower of Babel story and wonders, what if God wanted us to be different? That would certainly fit into God's plan in Genesis, God's command to humankind to be fruitful and multiply. So now we come to the story of Pentecost, having heard this story of Babel. Some commentators have described Pentecost as the reversal of the Tower of Babel. And this makes some sense. In Babel, the languages were confused, and on Pentecost, the people could hear their own language. In Babel, the people were scattered. In Pentecost, the people came together to form the Christian community. But to see Pentecost as a reversal of the Babel story is to miss a critical detail about what happened on Pentecost. On Pentecost, it was the disciples that started speaking in tongues. It isn't that the crowd all miraculously understood Aramaic, but it's that the speakers were changed to speak the languages of the hearers. On Pentecost, the good news of God's salvation didn't call all people to uniformity, but rather towards unity amidst their diversity. This diversity was celebrated and affirmed in that fledgling community. And if we're to take seriously what God calls us to be, then we need to take seriously the call for diversity in our own lives and communities. In the Tower of Babel story, we see two extremes. We see extreme unity and extreme scatteredness. The biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann says about this story, it is conventional to read this text as a simple either-or proposition, the disobedient unity of the peoples based in pride, or the scattering done by God as punishment. But what I feel is important to keep in mind is that the story didn't end at the Tower of Babel. The scattering was not the end of the story of humanity. The people scattered and moved about and multiplied over the face of the earth. And from that scatterness came violence and conflict and us versus them mentalities, tribalism, racism, separation. But also from that scatteredness came art and music and food, creativity, generations of unique beauty, close communities, and hope. The Tower of Babel provides an opportunity to explore the best and the worst aspects of human nature. At our worst, we are greedy and afraid, and in our separation, we can see that fear and greed cause us to hate those who speak different languages, who come from different cultures, who share different identities. But at our best, this separation helps show us how we are curious and hopeful, that we can see the ability to use different approaches and ideas to make the world a better place. We can honor the image of God and celebrate that image through exploring one another's diverse realities. We can also see the harm found in the homogeneous unity of those people building the tower. It can lead to a lack of interest in other things, a focus on the self, a prideful inflation of the ego that doesn't acknowledge others' needs. But a unity that's founded in diversity, it looks outwards towards justice. It desires to expand its unity through open arms and welcoming. It sparks hope for a mutual understanding that brings the world closer to God's kingdom. Pentecost shows us the fulfillment of the best aspects of the scattering found in the Tower of Babel. People coming together, speaking in tongues, speaking amidst diversity in unity to find a common purpose supported by that group. So how have we, in our lives, celebrated diversity? How do we manage to do that ourselves? How do we reach out to people who are different than us? Unity is important, yes. But unity that comes from homogeneity only reinforces the worst aspects of humanity. So what forces do we see enforcing homogeneity in our lives. It's true that powerful people in the world, they benefit from keeping us divided, in supporting a negative separation and promoting a toxic unity, creating division amongst people of different backgrounds and encouraging an ugly false unity is a very quick way to find yourself in power. So division based on culture and difference is absolutely propagated by systems, but we'd be lying if we said that it's solely oppressive systems that prevent us from finding unity and finding diversity. Many of us prefer the safety of a false unity over the challenge of a diverse unity. It's hard to be challenged by our neighbor to think differently, to act differently, to consider different ideas. Our unwillingness to listen to the voices of our neighbors contributes to a negative separation. Our pride at feeling that we know better than our neighbor contributes to that separation. Our lack of initiative to seek people out who think and look and act differently than us, that contributes to a negative separation and an ugly unity. But we take heart and we take inspiration from the church at Pentecost. In that place, the Spirit of God exploded, literally exploded into the world. It ignited the followers of Jesus to reach out to those in different places, those who have different languages, who share different cultures and bring different gifts. The foundation of our church is in welcoming those who are different than us. In the story of the Tower of Babel, we see God's initiative in creating diversity. And in Pentecost, we see God's call to all Christians to welcome it, to wrestle with its challenges, and to embrace its gifts. Because God's will for us is to be sent into the world, to grow in diversity, and to work together in unity for the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give thanks for the opportunities to learn from one another. We give thanks that you created us different and you gave us the blessing of that difference. May we strive to see it in one another. May we strive to see it in our neighbor. And may we always reach outwards, as you did on Pentecost, to bring together those people who come from different places. Amen.